Good evening and welcome to another exciting session at Ever Increasing Word Training Center. Well, tonight we come to the end of our first semester of classes. It certainly has been a privilege and an honor to teach and to train and to equip you in the apostolic. Because of what we have to cover tonight, we're going to finish up with stage two of revival, which is times of repentance. And hopefully we'll get into some of times of revelation. And I'm going to send you an extra homework assignment, which is chapter number four in your books that you will be responsible for reading. I will send you notes. And trust me, you will see some of it on the final exam. Let's begin. The benefits of repentance. Now, this is stage two, times of repentance. The benefits of repentance. The repentance from sins brings us to meet with the Master. It is an introduction. To the salvation that is available to us through Christ. The repentance from dead works brings us to the place where we can walk with the Master. It is an introduction
to our inheritance
that is available to us as believers in Christ. See, the principle of repentance from sins.
This is taken from Luke 15.
This is taken from Luke chapter number 15, verses 11 through 32, which is the teaching regarding the prodigal son.
Number one,
repentance means that we're coming to our senses.
Number two,
repentance is coming back or returning to the Father. Number three,
repentance
means I'm returning back to my Father's house, putting myself back up under his authority. Number four, repentance means I'm being restored or coming back to my Father's family.
D.
Repentance is the prerequisite for possessing our inheritance.
Without the redemption of the body, there's no adoption as sons.
We're not reading. We're just going to reference is Romans 8:23.
Without the adoption as sons.
We cannot share in the inheritance that is reserved for us.
E.
There are principles that must be followed in order for us to possess our inheritance.
Number one.
Inheritance, did you hear that? Inheritance is reserved for the sons and the daughters of God. That's why it is important to move from just being a baby in Christ to becoming matured sons and daughters. According to Romans 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, it's possible to be born from above, born again, a newborn baby in Christ, but you have to grow. The Bible says, and I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 2, round up in that area, says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Well, the milk of the word is for babies. In Hebrews chapter number 5, it talks about the meat of the word. The meat of the word is for people that are what? Maturing. You know, when you're a baby, you don't have the teeth yet developed to chew the meat. You use your gums. Thank God for gummy bears, huh? Okay, go ahead.
Number two.
Knowing what our inheritance is. Number three.
Misunderstanding.
The father's willingness
to share inheritance.
Number four.
The temptation.
To take our inheritance.
Before its time.
Number five.
Inheritance must be enjoyed.
In the context of the family. Number six.
Love for the father.
Must never be reduced.
By the love for inheritance.
Many times in the body of Christ, we're so focused on the blessing. We want the inheritance. Oftentimes we want it ahead of the season. You understand? But there's a fullness of time that must be made manifest in our lives. So when the fullness of time is manifest, then we're ready for inheritance. Other than that, we'll do like the prodigal son did. We'll receive the inheritance and go and what? Squander it. But here's a great lesson. The father never runs out. You can never spend all of your father's inheritance because he's unlimited. Are you listening? And when you return back to him, you listening? He has a greater inheritance for you. Go ahead.
Number seven.
Wisdom that is needed
to administer our inheritance.
Number eight.
Godly lifestyles.
Enhances the usage
of our inheritance.
And number nine.
To live fully
in our inheritance.
We need to deal with the spirit of poverty.
You listening? Now, chapter 11, stage one, times of revelation.
The first stage
of the end time revival
is the times of revelation
that the church is presently ushered into. Now, let me say this concerning this book. Because when we start talking about the seven stages of revival, I keep repeating this because it's worth repeating. The principle of revival is based upon the principle of what? Continuance. So when you study these seven stages of revival, I think what happens is we want to get stuck. We right here, right now. But we must understand. In the book also, it tells us that in order for us to fully walk in revival, we got to latch on to what our fathers taught us. According to Romans 15 and 4, all things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and hope and comfort of the scripture, we might have hope. What does that mean? We must build up on what God was doing in previous generations. You don't throw away the foundation. You listening? It's important. If we don't connect to what our forefathers did, how are we going to know where we're going? So these seven stages of revival, I like to look at them as a wheel in the middle of a wheel. You're always going through times of revelation. You're always going through times of repentance. You're always going through times of refreshing. You're always going through times of revealing. You're always going through times of restoration. You're always going through times of reformation. And you're always, in every generation, God will always have a man or a woman of God that he is using to constantly advance his kingdom. Amen. Understood? Go ahead.
The lack of revelation knowledge
can have disastrous end
for the church.
The church can be destroyed.
The gifts can be abused.
And the people can be rejected
from receiving their own inheritance, all because of a lack of what? Revelation knowledge. Make sure you put this in your notes. The whole kingdom of God is based upon revelation knowledge. Revelation means God is revealing himself, what? To us. You remember in Matthew 16, when Jesus got that revelation, when Jesus said, Matthew 16, 13 through 19, read it in your own spare time. But Jesus said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, some say Elias, some say Jeremiah, some say John the Baptist. You one of the prophets. Jesus said, what's important to me is, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, I got it this time. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The rock that Jesus was referring to wasn't Peter. It was the rock of revelation that he is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. You listening? So all that we build our lives upon is revelation knowledge. You listening? Then in 1 Corinthians 2, 9, 10, and 11, but I had not seen, nor have ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things that God had prepared for those that love him. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Well, the Holy Spirit searched the deep things of God so he can reveal them unto us. That's revelation knowledge. Now, times of revealing is a whole nother level, because we must move from revelation knowledge, that is God revealing himself to us, and times of revealing is him manifesting himself through us. There's a big difference. It's one thing to say you're Christ. It's another thing to manifest that you are. That's okay. It's kind of quiet. Y'all catch up with that next semester. Go ahead.
As the Holy Spirit
is moving the church into revival times, the church is experiencing
a breakthrough
in revelation flow. The church is learning the ways and the workings of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's say this. All revelation knowledge comes from God, the Holy Spirit. See, in Matthew's gospel, chapter 11, 24 to the end of the chapter, Jesus gave thanks to his Father and said, Father, I thank you that you revealed these things unto babes. All revelation knowledge comes from the Holy Ghost. That's why you have to spend time with him. It's more than just reading a book. You have to have a relationship. In a relationship, it's communication. The number one breakdown in marriages is lack of communication. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And it's hard to get them on the same planet because they won't be right. But the Holy Ghost is not concerned about you being right. I hear another voice in the class. I'm not going to say nothing. Okay, go ahead.
Benefits of walking in revelation.
Benefits of walking in revelation knowledge.
Number one.
Higher spiritual perception.
And wisdom.
The perception that comes through revelation knowledge
is higher than that
of human wisdom
and mind education.
All that sexual education, we try to bring it into the church.
Man
and his, notice this term, limited understanding
and perception
can only see Jesus
as one of the prophets.
But spiritual revelation
lifts us,
lifts us to see
who he really is.
The church is receiving spiritual insight
and wisdom
on how to govern her own affairs and to influence the society around her. Now, that's important. See, the church, we have relegated the church to being in walls, right? The church is a place we come to. That's because of erroneous teaching. That's the pastoral form of government. People in our generation, after 2,000 plus years, you listening? All they have a concept on is what? Going to church. Going to church in today's generation is fulfilling my religious obligation, or fulfilling my religious duty. So that's why the church is full of babies. Are you listening? God is saying it's time for the church to grow up. When the church grows up, we begin to recognize that we are the church. He is the head of the church, which is his body. If he's the head and we are his body, you don't separate the head from the body, because the body receives all of its nourishment, all of its nourishment from the head. You can put all the food you want in this body, but if that brain up there not functioning, that body won't know what to do with it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. When your brain is dead, you listening? You listening? You just land up there. You understand? In order for you to be cognizant, you have to have brain activity. Are you listening? Well, so it is in the realm of the spirit. We must understand that we are the church. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his ears. We are his eyes. We are his mouthpiece. You listening? A dying and hurting world will not know who he is until we know who we are. We are the church. We are the church of the living God. You listening? So when Jesus said, upon this rock of revelation, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, he was not talking about brick and mortar. He was not talking about the beautiful edifices that are erected throughout the world. I tell you, the most beautiful edifice is a body of believers who know who they are. A body of believers who can take over cities and nations because they're full of God's glory and full of God's power, which this generation knows very little about, because it does not seem that God's power is prevailing in the earth realm. But wake up. 2024 is about to show up. And there will be things that happen in 2024 that you will not be able to explain nor understand. That is the purpose of the apostolic. God is restoring full power back to his church. The apostles, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher are coming back to function as the one Lord Jesus Christ in the earth realm. I'm not talking about a church label and a church name. I'm talking about a people who understand who they are. Go ahead.
Number two.
Inheritance of sonship.
There are higher blessings of sonship.
Called inheritance.
That can only be released to us.
Through revelation knowledge. Well, here's something you need to know. We always trying to seek an inheritance. But here's what you need to know. You are God's inheritance. Oh, see that. I'll read Ephesians chapter number 1. Verses 16 through 23. Are you listening? Go ahead.
The blessing of God
is for both the righteous
as well as the wicked.
As well as the wicked.
We realize
that the sun shines on the righteous
as well as the wicked.
I like to say it like this. The wicked are beneficiaries of the righteous. Thank you for your enthusiasm. See, when I show up on the job, my job blessed because I'm there.
Yes, sir.
See, there you go. Wherever you are, that place is blessed because you're there. See, God will open up you to be gates windows, and doors so he can pour out blessings on the company that you work for. I know some of y'all don't believe it, but let me give you some revelation. God will move a whole company just so you can be where he needs you to be. Are you listening? That's why he don't want you dependent on a job. Your income is not determined by your job. God is your source. Are you listening? And when you are a sower and you sow seed, God moves heaven and earth to make sure that things are happening on your behalf. Go ahead, daughter.
The blessings pertaining to sons.
The blessing that pertains to sons is called inheritance.
It is only by
or through revelation knowledge
that we can stake a claim
on our God-appointed inheritance. You know what that means? Don't you dare forfeit your inheritance for religion or tradition or for the opinions of men and women who are not informed. Anybody who tries to get in your ear and say, oh, it don't take all of that. Well, why does it take all of that for you to be promoted on your job? But when it comes to church, you won't give God anything. Shundai hookah Messiah. Oh, mama, my knee hurt. Can I get a new pair of sunglasses? Go ahead.
Revelation always precedes.
Revelation always precedes inheritance or possession. You want to know why? You cannot have what is not revealed to you. You cannot access what is not revealed to you because you don't even know that it's in existence. Go ahead.
Number three. Power over flesh.
The life that moves in revelation flow. Is free from the power of the flesh.
The devil has power over the flesh. Because he's permitted to feed.
Upon the dust of the earth.
From which we were created.
Any believer that's walking in the flow of revelation knowledge.
Is walking in victory over the flesh.
Did you get that? Huh? Without victory over the flesh, I'll put it another way. Revelation knowledge, flowing in revelation knowledge, gives us the victory over fallen flesh. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Walking in revelation.
Is walking in total obedience.
To the Holy Spirit
and his word. So you know what that means, huh? You got to die. Without a crucifixion, there can be no resurrection. That's why the scriptures teach crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Are you listening? That's why the Holy Spirit is given unto us. So we can put to death the flesh. Take up your cross and die daily. There's stuff you want to do. Fuss in the flesh. They got people in here with master's degrees on that, but I'm not calling nobody name. Go ahead.
Those who walk in the flesh
and in human wisdom
do not have the ability to please God.
Number four.
The grace of sonship.
The place of intimacy and love
in relationship with God
is only afforded to sons.
Revelation knowledge
places us into the position of sonship
that opens up the door to what?
Intimacy. Somebody give me Revelation 1:1 real quick because I want to show you this. Keep reading, daughter.
The Father opens this door
to sons. You got Revelation 1:1? What it says?
The revelation of Jesus Christ.
Now notice this phrase. the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave what? Which God gave what? Now listen to me, children. Listen to me. If Jesus had to have a revelation of who he is, how much more do we need a revelation of who we are? Are you listening? At age 12, when Joseph, you listening, and Mary, see, Joseph was supposed to be his father. Jesus knew who his father was. Because when Joseph and Mary came to seek Jesus at 12, some of us 40 and we still can't get it down. You listening? At age 12, Jesus was in the temple discussing spiritual matters with teachers of the law, doctors, all these people with these big degrees. They trying to figure out how do this man know this stuff? They really wants how this little boy know this stuff. But remember, he's a child of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Holy Ghost and with wisdom. Are you listening to me? And then when his mother and his father, after a 3-day journey, realized they wasn't with him. See, y'all don't even pay attention. I did say after a 3-day journey. You listening? They returned back to find him. And when they found him, he was in the temple. And when they inquired with him, he said, don't you know? Don't know, you didn't hear. He didn't say, don't I know. He said, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? And he wasn't talking about being a carpenter. He was talking about his father's business. You listening? And that's what we must be about. We are not in this earth realm to accomplish all of this secular stuff that people have put on our plates and put on our agendas. We got vision boards and all this kind of stuff. The greatest vision you could have is, what did God put you in this earth realm to do? Because when you go back to him, you're going to have to answer for the assignment he gave you that you did not fulfill. Now, in case you cannot tell, I know that I know. I'm not Mark and I'm not Mindy, even though I'm not from here. You listening? I know I'm not from here. I came from God. I think God hid from my wife I was going to be a preacher because she knew she wouldn't have stayed. She did not want to be married to no preacher. She still ain't signing up. Are you listening? But she know. And I know. See, I know that I know that I know. I didn't have no man to call me. I didn't go to no school. I didn't go to no seminary. I know that I know that I know. God spoke to me and said, I have called you. Are you listening? Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I ordained you to do what you're doing. So I'm doing exactly what I'm sent here to do. And it's impossible for you to be around me and not be blessed. It's that simple. I don't care what you're going through in life. You can always have adversities and challenges. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. See yourself out. Go ahead, daughter. Number five, wholesome self-image. Whatever I don't finish in class, you're going to get the notes and it's going to be on the test. Just warming you up. So if you think I'm going to run out of time, we ain't going to, yeah, you're going to have a real exam this year. Go ahead.
Revelation knowledge
unfolds to us
how God sees us.
Did you hear that? Revelation knowledge unfolds to us how God sees us. See, too many times we're looking at life on an earthly plane. You listening? But God looks at us from above. If you ever fly in a 747, you'll notice you can see a lot of stuff when you're on the runway. Huh? But the higher you go, the less you see down there. Because you're looking at it from a different vantage point. As a matter of fact, everything, whether you're flying over land, it all looks the same. Isn't that right? They got buildings down there. But when you flying over, it all look like land. Look at y'all.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Some of y'all never been in a jet. You still on the bus. Go ahead.
We can then see ourselves
as God sees us.
We start to have a sound judgment
about who we really are.
Not thinking more highly
or too lowly of ourselves.
See, you can't think too high of yourself
and you can't think too low of yourself.
You must think soberly,
how God teaches you to think.
You listening?
Go ahead.
A wholesome self-image
provides the necessary stability
and maturity
to walk in this world.
Our personality and our character development
is going to be hindered
if we have an identity crisis
within ourselves.
Now, I'm going to help you with this identity crisis.
When you allow your family name,
the one you came here with,
you so proud to be a walker.
Had to use my own name because some of y'all would have fell out if I'd have called your name. You listening?
I told y'all God didn't use last names in the Bible. Didn't say Abraham Williams.
Let y'all smoke that a while.
Sometimes we're so tied to family lineages,
you listening?
That we don't understand who we really came from.
There's a family of God in the earth realm.
And you won't know what your first and last name is?
I am that I am.
That's all you ever need to be.
If you stay connected to your last name in the earth realm, you might not get the inheritance that God has for you.
Because if you look around, none of your family members left you nothing for you to go no further than what you,
I wish somebody,
and you don't have time to be waiting on somebody to die to go where you got to go.
So get on board.
You have an inheritance that will cause you to live debt free.
Go ahead.
God is a God of progressive revelation.
Who reveals his name and his nature
to us
at appropriate times
in our journey of life.
Do you know the names of God are so important in the scripture?
God said to Moses, go to Pharaoh because he have not known me by this name.
In God's name, Jehovah Jireh, his provision shall be seen in the mount of the Lord.
Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that heal you.
Jehovah Rohi, I'm the Lord your shepherd and you shall not want.
Jehovah Nisi, he's your victory.
You listening?
All of those names mean something.
Jehovah Sitkinu, he is my righteousness.
So when God appears to you, in name, he's revealing his nature and his character to you.
And if you can't remember all of those names of God,
no problem.
You have the master key,
Jesus.
Yeah, look at y'all. Go ahead.
Number six.
A new strength of character.
Peter was changed.
From a reed to a stone.
His true spiritual nature
came forth
to its full potential.
Peter received new spiritual strength
in character
and in leadership
to lead the church
into the fullness of Pentecost.
Jacob was transformed
into a new man.
After he had wrestled with the angel of the Lord,
who gave him a new name.
Now, you know, Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel.
Jacob means supplanter, trickster.
He was full of tricks. He like some people I know. They're always trying to trick you out something. You listening? But his name went from supplanter or trickster to Israel. You are a prince with God. That's powerful. You have power with God as sons and daughters. The enemy don't want you to know that. That's why you always wanted somebody to pray for you. I said that? Okay, go ahead.
The apostles James and John.
The apostles James and John.
Also had their names changed.
Also had their names changed.
Signifying the type of ministry
that they were going to serve God with. Y'all know what that was? Y'all don't read the Bible. They were called the sons of thunder. Thank you for your enthusiasm. They had a powerful ministry. Go ahead.
Those who are changed by the flow of revelation.
Those who are changed by the flow of revelation.
Became stable foundations for God.
To move in their generation. To move in their generation.
God can only build upon solid vessels
that have become the foundation stones
for the next move.
Number seven.
The church is built on revelation flow.
The church is built up on revelation flow. In other words, the church will go no further than the revelation knowledge that it possesses. That's why churches today, you see them stuck. Some of y'all don't like it. All churches are not the same. You can fool yourself. All right, if all churches are the same, then SUNO and Harvard is the same. Thank you for, and Princeton and FAMU is the same. Y'all, why are y'all getting upset? UNO and Columbia is the same. It's not. Because those Ivy League schools have more resources backing them. So they have access to more. Are you listening? Access means you can use access in this term as being more revealed to them. So they can impart more. Are you listening? See, if America was really serious about education, huh? You listening? They wouldn't have turned it into a business. You listening? They should pay you to go to school. Since you coming back here contributing, they spent billions of dollars on war and have a problem with canceling student debt. Huh? Why they sit up in the White House and throw around all that crazy idea? Well, you know, no. If you can give billions of dollars to other countries for war, then you can get rid of the war that's on the minds of your citizens. But that's okay. We don't need that government. We have a government who has already decreed you to be debt free. You just need to get connected. Go ahead.
There's no true church
without revelation flow.
Human traditions
and man-made religions
does not make church.
Them same songs. Go to them church. Some of them songs they sing so dead, a cat'll die in there. I'm serious. Amazing Grace sound like amazing what? Are you listening? I mean, I'm just being honest with you. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Why another thou art calling? Do not pass me by. Beat the devil running and I'm so glad. Where do we get these songs from? Did everybody want to go to heaven? I'm going to walk around heaven all day. No, you're not. You're not going to walk around heaven all day. I don't know where this teaching come from in the church. You're not going to be in heaven. God has a new earth for you to come. The Bible, you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
The earth belonged to the sons of men. The earth will be renovated. And though there are some of you will be rulers over cities when you get back here. So serve him well. Go ahead, daughter.
Number eight.
Revelation knowledge is the key to a prevailing church in the earth.
The church that is
properly connected to the Father in revelation flow
has the keys of the kingdom of God
to destroy the satanic kingdom. Our time has run out. Once again, you will be receiving all of the instructions necessary for the final exam, which is going to cover the whole spectrum of this semester. Enjoy your evenings.